Okay, so here we are today with another episode of our Leader in Highlight podcast from We United. And I am so excited to be here with Simon Meadmore all the way from Europe. We are so fortunate to be connecting virtually. Hello, Simon, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Jackie. Yeah, pleasure. And thank you for your time. Looking forward to the conversation. Thank you.
Me too. Well, let's just start out, Simon. For those of you who don't know you, what is your background? And give us an idea of your leadership leading up to this point. You know, what have you done in the industry? How long you been here? Just introduce us to you, Simon.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. Well, I've been around quite a long time, well over 30 years, actually. And my first job in the industry was working for a small contract electronics manufacturer. And I started working on a production line soldering connectors into boards. I then progressed on to pick and place machines. I did a lot of different roles within that company. I worked in stores, in production planning, in purchasing. Then I moved on to an original equipment manufacturer where I was a senior buyer for many products. And more recently, I spent the bulk of my career at Farnell. And I had many different supplier and product facing roles, and I rose to the position of VP for global product and supplier management. So I've had a fantastic career in industry, a long one, and it's certainly helped me build up a lot of knowledge and experience over that time. But certainly in my time at Farnell, I left about 6 weeks ago, but I had a fantastic career there and it really allowed me to progress.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So there's so much I want to talk to you about this, rising to the level of position in the industry. So I'm going to get into that a little bit with you as far as skills, what's needed, how did you advance, what mentorship advice you can offer others for advancement. But before I do that, I want to pause. And, you know, someone like yourself, you said 30 years, that's a pretty good tenure in the industry. What have you seen with technology? Like, what is the impact? Like, it just seems like we're seeing everything heat up so much. So what impact has technology had, you know, leading up to this point? And what do you see the impact of leaders and our work life moving forward?
No, it's a great question. And I always think of this in terms of the impact it's had on my working life. When I first started the industry, you know, you could communicate to someone by picking up a phone, or you can go talk to someone, or you'd have to write them a fax. Now we are just constantly connected through multiple channels and multiple devices. So, you know, you have to be really aware about your work-life balance. You can be constantly connected. So I think that in itself, it's a challenge, but it's also really helped the way people work today, and it's easier to connect. It's easy to be visible. It's easy to speak to people. And a lot of that technology didn't exist even 10 or 15 years ago. And I just think the rapid advancement of change in technology has really impacted all of our working lives.
It does. I think expectations too. So I feel like maybe even a lot of companies kind of expect more immediate answers because they can get to you, right? So that's something for leaders to understand too, though. I think you make a really good point that we can all be connected a lot, but making sure we have boundaries around that.
That's really important, just setting some principles and guidelines, and leaders have to set the example. And if I, for example, was to be seeing constantly emailing, messaging my team at the weekend, you know, they may feel they have to do the same. And I just don't think that's a particularly healthy work-life balance. So I think it is up to leadership to help set some of those boundaries and ground rules, and that should reflect on the team. I think you're absolutely right with that comment, Jackie.
So what do you think, though, if we look at our industry, it's amazing how much growth, exponential growth we've seen, especially, you know, coming out of the pandemic and all of that. But what do you think is going to bring the biggest growth in our industry moving forward?
I think there are many, many buzzwords that are always used. AI is obviously the latest. We're all experiencing that now. 4 or 5 years back, it was the Internet of Things. We're surrounded by technology. It impacts our daily lives, and we panic when we don't have the technology to hand, that is for sure. So all those things require electronics. So this is a great industry to be in. I think the future is really positive. We know it's cyclical. We know that, but we know that it'll come through. So I just think the purveyance of technology it impacts every minute of our daily lives. So that's where the growth is going to come from. I wouldn't say it's one particular market or area, but it's going to be across all verticals and all technologies, and that's going to help the future sustainable growth of the industry.
So you mentioned verticals. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think people underestimate sometimes the just breadth of reach we have in the industry, because so many verticals now utilize technology that didn't before. You know, you've got furniture, you've got all kinds of industries that are incorporating technology into their product. So, you know, you've got electric chairs and all kinds of stuff. But think of medical technology, consumer technology. There's so many verticals we reach that are, we have such an impact in this industry. And that's why these conversations are so important, because if we look at the future, you and I had talked prior about talent, bringing in fresh perspectives, bringing in that next generation of leaders, is so important for them to know that this is an industry that can have a great impact on lives. But we just talked about growth. What is the potential threat to our industry? Like if you think of as a leader, what are some of the things you should be thinking of as a leader that could be a threat to the growth of organizations, but also the industry as a whole?
For me, it's the acquisition and retention of talent. I don't think electronics is necessarily an industry that a lot of people think of. So it's bringing the people, you know, the younger generation or the next generation of people into the industry. And then the challenge is, how do you really maintain and how do you keep them engaged? How do you mentor them? You know, how do you progress them through their careers? And I think there's a really important point here that a lot of people do expect career progression when they join an industry, but they also need to own that and be accountable for it. If you can give people joining the industry that feedback from the beginning, I think that will give them confidence and help progress their careers. But I don't think anyone has a job for life anymore. People have choices. It has shifted a lot. And when people join organizations, they expect a lot more as an employee as well. They expect flexibility. And I think the pandemic has really brought that to the fore. There's certainly a lot more discussion now from when I first started work in terms of work-life balance, mental well-being, and all those things that we talk about every day. Those things weren't really talked about when I first joined the electronics industry. So there are things I think that are really important. And I just think it's really critical that people need to understand it's ownership of people's careers, and you know, they need to be able to help themselves in their progression as well.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because I was just listening. We had a podcast with actually Mike Morton, and he said something in that podcast that I thought was pretty critical. And he said, for people to be learners versus expecting to be taught. I thought, oh, that's actually a good point. It's like you said, owning your career. It's like, what do I have to take responsibility to go and learn and develop and grow versus just expecting someone's just going to come teach me what I need to know? Ooh, that is, like you said, own it.
It's a great point, and it's just so much. Learning's so accessible now, and you know, I'm taking a kind of career break at the minute, and it's one thing I've been doing, just taking advantage of what's out there on LinkedIn. I've been part of an outreach program that's been really valuable in terms of some of the courses I've done. So the learning aspect's so accessible, and of course, you learn a lot when you're working. You know, you build experience, but if you get a bit of time to yourself, then you try and stretch that time, use it wisely, and do a bit of self-learning, because as you quite rightly say, it doesn't always come to you to be able to do a bit of that yourself.
Yes. And then, okay, so let's regroup on what you said as well. So you have a little moment to have a breather in the industry. Let's talk about that real quick, because it's critical to know. And you made that point too. You just kind of mentioned it, that you can't always count on the fact that you're just always going to have a certain career progression as you think you're going to have. There's going to be breaks and twists and turns along the way. And that is part of the leadership journey. So I'll let you speak to that, because I think it's a critical point that people may find themselves in positions where they do have a breather. So let's just regroup on that real quick. What are your thoughts, and what are you doing during this time while you're taking this little time off?
I mean, this is the first time I haven't worked for 34 years, so it's very emotional to start with, and there's a bit of fear, if I'm honest, because you don't know what's going to happen. But a couple of things that I've found to be really important is just have a bit of structure to your day, almost. So you can take time to relax, but take a bit of time to learn something different, like we just previously discussed. And I find my network has been immensely powerful as well. And I've had people sort of come to me on potential opportunities. So that's really important, to spend time with my friends, family. It's allowed me to reflect on things. And we talk about reflecting on what might be working or not working so well in our working lives, but you never get time to think about it because you're instantly onto the next thing. So this break, this breather has given me time to do that. And I just hope the next opportunity I'm going to go in really refreshed, really energized, and use some of what I've been thinking about, reflecting on for my next role. So my advice is, it's worrying, but don't use the time as best you can, because I'm sure something else will come up in the future.
Yes, and I think that you mentioned network. We talk about these things a lot, but people don't understand how critical it is. So you find yourself in a position where you have a gap, right? It's that network that really saves you, right? It's that network that carries you through and brings the support, but also the next opportunities. And I appreciate you so much, Simon, because you were very open about your time, like what you were doing. You posted on LinkedIn and you said, hey, you sent out a post, and that's how I found you. So speak to that real quick, because you really impressed me with how open you were about your current situation.
Yeah, well, I can remember the picture I put on there, and it was a collection of all the business cards that I've collected at Farnell over the years. And it was like in a kind of timeline almost, from when I started as a supplier management, kind of almost up to the VP director level. And they say, a picture paints 1,000 words, and I felt it really did. And I had a fantastic career there. But the amount of feedback and comments I got, and reactions I got from it was quite overwhelming, really. And I didn't really understand how powerful my network was, or even my reputation as well. And I think that's what's important. You just do what you're going to say you're going to do, follow up, and just be respectful of people. And just acting like that through, and it hasn't always been easy. Acting like that through my career has really helped me in this situation. So I think they're the things that I've really valued from when I left Farnell, and certainly over the last 6 weeks since I left. It's been a really, really powerful experience for me.
I think that you're setting the stage of it's also vulnerable, right? Sometimes you feel like you're in a vulnerable position when you're just being open and honest. So I love that you did that. So now that you've had some time for reflection, you're going to go into your next refreshed, and you've had some time to think about what you want. But let's just say, if you look back on your career leading up to this point, what are some things you would have done different that you can impart to others?
Yeah, I certainly would have acted with, or had a bit more confidence in my own ability. I mean, I spent a lot of time just waiting for opportunities to come to me, and I was quite a late developer, really, in my career. But also, I don't regret anything I've done, because it gave me a huge grounding and I learned an awful lot. So what I do differently is have a bit more self-belief, a bit more confidence, and try and promote myself a bit more. And you see a lot of people doing that, but it's just really having belief in your own ability. And I did lack a lot of that, to be honest. But certainly in more recent years, that has helped me, and my confidence has grown. So it's just having that self-belief, really.
I love that about you. And I think for people listening that are coming from a place of humility, like you obviously do, Simon, it tends to be a very common theme that when we have very humble people, confidence, whether, it's so refreshing to hear you speaking as a man to say that you've had confidence issues, because I believe everybody experiences that. It's just that men don't feel they can say it, right? They don't feel they can communicate that. So I think as humans, man or woman, we tend to have these issues if we're coming from a place of humility. People worry about over-promoting themselves and being too arrogant. But that is the sign of a very humble human being. But what's that balance with promoting yourself, having that confidence versus not coming across as arrogant?
Yeah, of course, I mean, all my experience and knowledge now has helped me with my confidence, but I've suffered from imposter syndrome and things like that. And I think if you've got the kind of courage to speak about it to others, you'll find people have got similar experiences which you didn't even know about. Having that kind of openness does help you, especially when you can speak to others who are going through similar experiences, and people just need to remember they're not on their own through these things. It's quite a serious subject when you get put into a position of responsibility and you have those self-doubts. It can be really damaging unless you can speak to people and try and build on it to change and do things better. But those things don't come easily.
It's so critical for leaders, especially talking to our male leaders, to understand that speaking about it, having these conversations is so helpful. I so appreciate you talking about it, because we had chatted before about emotional intelligence and how in our careers, like, never were there opportunities to develop in emotional intelligence, but how critical it is to have leaders that are emotionally intelligent, right?
It is. And I can say, I mean, this is no fault of any company or anyone I work for, but I've had not one, you know, minute of formal training on things like emotional intelligence. And yet we expect leaders to possess those skills. So, you know, you build it over time and experience. One thing we can take away from this conversation is companies can maybe give that a bit more thought. And how do they support leaders that are put into these roles of quite serious levels of responsibility with big teams? And how do you support them through that? And, you know, there probably just need to be some more formal training or expectation setting on people's skills around those things, because I'm not sure you can just teach that through one webinar either. People need to be supported through those journeys that they're on through their careers.
Yes. I think as we're moving forward into the future, that's part of what we do at Women Electronics, is really bringing emotionally intelligent leaders. And like you said, it's not a one and done. It's a development that needs to happen continually, because we're all just human beings doing the best we can with our backgrounds and the world and making sense of everything. And whatever we're not developed in, it has been proven in all the data, it gets taken out on our teams. Good or bad. So we really should be looking at these things. And you had mentioned, so if you look at your mentors and you look at people who help you through these situations, you know, mentorship in our world at Women Electronics is such a big pillar for us. So who's your biggest mentor?
I've just got three people I like to talk about through my career. And I've met many great and talented people. But in my first job that I mentioned, you know, the contract manufacturer, there was a gentleman called Dave Lewis, who used to run the drawing office. And at the time, I had a job in production planning. And I got thrown off that because I thought I was doing a great job, but someone else thought differently. And I reacted really badly to that. And he sort of pulled me to one side and he said, don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder, as if it's all about me and I'm the victim. And he was absolutely right. I mean, I was young. I was only 22 at the time, I think. And it's like the best advice I've had, really. It's always stuck with me. And a lot of things haven't worked out for me in my career. A lot of them have. And I've always tried to maintain that. Just kind of be professional. Don't walk around with that chip on your shoulder. So that was the first one. My time at Farnell, I'd like to mention Chris Howarth. He's the managing director of a company called CPC, who are a subsidiary of Farnell and Avnet. And he just gave me great advice, especially when I was at the VP level. He just spoke a lot of common sense. He's someone that can connect with his teams, and just a really, really approachable, smart business person. And I think the last person, my wife as well. My wife has been my mentor. She's my moral conscience. And I've talked to her a lot about a lot of things. I've just found that really valuable to have somebody who's impartial and not connected to the industry that you can speak to. And she's given me great advice and guidance over the years as well. So, but they're the three people that really stick out.
Awesome to have those mentors. And then you, as you're rising and going to your next, right? will be a source of mentorship for a lot of people. So what is that? You know, we don't get to see you all the time, Simon. We don't get to talk to you all the time. It's not like we could just come up to you at, you know, any given moment. So what would you say your biggest pieces of mentorship advice would be, given all the mentorship you've had, the experience you've had? Mm-hmm. What would you say to people listening is your biggest input for mentorship advice?
I mean, I'd be fortunate enough to have a great career where I've progressed. I've built all that knowledge and experience. So it's almost like you want to pass that on to other people and for others to sort of benefit from that. But really, it's kind of just acting and doing what you say you'll do, you know, really following up on your commitments. And hopefully I want to make a positive impact to the next organization I work for. But just be yourself, be authentic, and just be open and honest. People respond well to that. And that's the advice I would give anyone, actually, you know. But yeah, hopefully someone can benefit from all that knowledge and experience I've kind of built up over the years.
Yes. And what would you say is the biggest threat to people's careers? Like, where have you seen people derail themselves in their careers?
It's that fear of failure, isn't it? It's okay to make mistakes, and I've made many of them. But you learn. You do learn from it, and you think about what you'll do differently. Feedback is a gift. We use that phrase all the time, but it's important to act on it and just have some self-awareness. You have awareness, yes, of who you are and how you sort of behave in front of people, and just be respectful. They're the things I've learned, and it is okay to make a mistake. Everyone does it. That's what's been great for me, having this kind of breather that you can think about all that and hopefully do things better and differently next time.
It's really interesting because last summit for we last September, we had an amazing leader who I love, Linda Johnson, and she was talking about how people derail their careers. And it goes back to what you said when you didn't get that promotion or whatever, when somebody saw something different that weren't happy.
Oh, the production planning job. Yeah, the first job.
Yeah. Yeah, and how you had a chip on your shoulder and you were kind of upset about it. That is what she says is the number one thing that causes people to derail their career. And if I could look at like kind of the bird's eye view we have at Women in Electronics and looking at people in the industry, that seems to be. So thankfully you learned that lesson early on, and that person probably helped you for your entire career by telling you that, because most people don't understand how they come across when something didn't go their way. So it's not only how do you behave when things are going well, but how do you behave when in disappointment, when things aren't going in your way? That I think is something for people to be very aware of too, is what you said.
Sure. And it's happened recently in my career as well. And you learned over time and with experience, and you know, I'm a bit more mature now, that the saying, it's a small world, it's small. It absolutely is. So you have to just retain a modicum of professionalism, because you don't know who you're going to meet next or what's around the corner. So that's what I tried to remember. And that's not easy either. You know, it can be very difficult.
The network and not burning bridges, like even when things don't go your way, to just don't burn those bridges. And really, what is the new perspective you have going into your next position? Like, what is it that you're going to take now that you maybe wouldn't have had before?
Well, one thing I promised myself is my next role has got to be right for me. It's somewhere where I want to see out the rest of my career. I've had this perspective. It's probably just helped me a little bit with my humility, how to kind of treat people going into the next organization, and learn, maybe not repeat some of the mistakes I made last time. And as we've been talking about, it's hard to do that when you're at work and people have got family lives and all those other things. And that's what this time's allowed me to do that. And I genuinely believe that. And hopefully I can improve the next organization I go to. So it's not just about all that knowledge and experience I've got, but it's how can I kind of improve even further? And you're always learning, you know, it's never too late to learn something new or try and improve what you do. So I think that's what I'm going to take on to the next opportunity.
I think that's awesome. And I just have just a couple more questions to throw at you, Simon. One is, I tend to ask people this question because I believe so much that the human side of leadership is so important. And we're talking about all this today, which I love. But what are those things as a human being, also showing up as a leader, but what are those things that make you cry? And what are those things that bring you the most joy that drives you forward?
Yeah, I had a pretty traumatic experience last year. I lost my younger brother to cancer. He was 48 years of age, so he was too young, and it was horrific for me because my parents have both gone, and my brother. But actually, I found just talking to people, not everyone wants to open up, and you can choose to open up or keep things to yourself, and both are perfectly acceptable things to do. But I just found speaking to my colleagues at work helped me. Their support was fantastic. I can't thank Farlon enough for all that. So that really helped me through it. It really did. And what brings me joy, what makes me happy now, is just spending time with friends and family that I do. And very fortunate to have a bit more time to do that right now. And that's what makes me happy. But again, it's the power of the relationships you have, all those people you know, and feel like you want to, you can chat to people. And I just found that really helpful during that time. And it was a year ago, so it was very recent as well.
Oh, Simon, I just want to extend my condolences because that is a hard thing to go through, especially like your younger brother. There's always that, oh, so it just really it's impactful. And I think all of us have to understand in life, we all have our hurts and pains and suffering, and you never know what somebody's going through. And I think what I like about you, Simon, is the fact that you are open. As you said, not everybody tells you everything going on, but super important as we're moving forward that we're communicating, that people understand it's okay to communicate and get support when you need it. So I think that community is so essential. And now the time. So it seems like you're enjoying time with your loved ones because you understand the importance of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't know what's around the corner. It's an unfortunate thing to have to say, but you really don't. So you just, value the time, really.
Yes. Yes, and protecting that time. So you mentioned way at the beginning of this conversation about the work-life balance and making sure that you could be connected all the time, making sure that you're also protecting that time. So last just wanted to ask you, so if we're looking at the industry moving forward, maybe what the outlook is, what do we look to expect as far as growth in the industry? And then us, here we are, women in electronics, moving forward as We United. What is this place we have in that? How is this connected? And what is the value or what is the need of something like this or not, right? Because we're always evaluating what is it we can bring to an industry that's at this exponential growth rate. Is that rate going to continue? And where is our position and our place in all this? So I'll just let you comment, Simon.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said at the start, we're just surrounded by technology, and this industry clearly has a huge part to play in that. So you can see it. The industry will grow in the future. It doesn't feel like that right now because we're going through a correction, or we were at the time I left Farnell. So I think that's still going on, but it goes through cycles. But technology will drive the industry forward. And I think organizations like Women in Electronics, and I also think when I joined, I was young, and I used to think, well, this industry is full of middle-aged white men, and it still is. Organizations like Women in Electronics can challenge some of that kind of conventional thinking, promote the women talent that's in the industry. And I think that's just a really important role that you play. But it's not just that, it's like these conversations we're having now and just sharing people's experiences, and hopefully others can learn from that. And it's okay. It's okay not to be perfect. I think as long as you're aware of that, and it certainly helped me in my career and build, and then that builds confidence. So I think these are all the things, like having this conversation, this podcast now, it promotes all those type of things to people.
Well, Simon, I have truly enjoyed kind of getting to know you a little bit. It's been a blessing to me through your challenge of having some time. Just really appreciate you and the fact that we've had some time to get to know you more, and wishing you the best. I know it's not anything announced at this time, but in your next, I'm sure you're going to do fantastic and definitely want to stay connected with you.
No, thank you, Jack. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for your time as well. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon. Thank you very
All
much.
right. Thank you,
Thank
Simon.
you.
Have a great day.